At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day Sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Let's roll. We're into level three. George Kurtz is going to step up and in a couple of minutes. We got Sean Higgs just for a few more moments. Sean, college football, I was talking, I just said about Dabo Sweeney, and, you know, the Clemson, I think the Clemson Tigers, personally, people are sleeping on them coming into this year, and normally you have a crazy hot take, but I'll give you one right now. The Clemson Tigers and the Georgia Bulldogs to start the season, I would not be surprised if the Clemson Tigers win this game outright, but I will be taking the Clemson Tigers plus the points against the Georgia Bulldogs. They're getting far too many points. Georgia's like really, really, you know, they're a powerful program. No, they're a powerful program, but it's a new team. Like, it's not, like, they're not coming off of, oh, yeah, they're this team that just won the national championship and, like, all these guys are back. They have all these top recruits, and Kirby Smart's amazing, and they're going to be really good, but so are Clemson. Like Dabo Sweeney said, he goes, people talk about the transfer portal. He goes, I don't need a transfer portal. He goes, I got my old football team back, who was one of the top recruiting classes in the country, and I'd rather go to war with my guys than bring in some new guy, and I buy in. I know the Tigers have been underachievers the last 2 years, but the Clemson Tigers, I'm telling you right now, Sean, mark my words, they're going to cover the points spread against the Georgia Bulldogs opening Saturday night of the season.
Well, it's up to 14 now from 13, so people are moving on Georgia thinking they're going to take care of business. Clemson, I was going over a little preview mags, and one of them said that Clemson had been a top 10 team the last 3 years preseason. They finished no better than 13th at all at any of them. I mean, you're like high, and I'm kind of down on the program for we were talking about the portal off air. I don't think going and grab 40 guys, 20 guys like a lot of these teams do, but you could find a piece here and there. Dabo, I mean, you can come on. It's okay to come to the dark side and grab a player. Your team you failed the last 3 years. You have not been good. Your top guys who want to go to your school, well, he's playing for Miami, your quarterback, because he left and went to Oregon State or Oregon, wherever he went, and he's in Miami. I mean, you might face him in the ACC championship game. Who's on Florida State, right, the kid? DJ Ukulele, DJU?
Yeah, DJU.
Yeah, I like DJ.
I thought they threw DJ under the bus a little bit quicker than maybe they could have or should have, or they blamed him. But he's going to do
championship game. They benched him in the ACC championship game.
He's going to do well with Florida State, but Klubnik is a really, really highly rated quarterback, even by NFL people. So people like Klubnik. He's got to go out there and win some football games for them. But don't fool yourself, Sean. The last few years, the Clemson Tigers have lost a lot of close games. Their defense has still been elite. But there's been a drop-off at the skill position player for them. And like you said, maybe that's where they got to say, all right, listen, we're not going to go crazy with the transfer portal, but let's get a couple of wide receivers in here. Because if you think in past years, from the Sammy Watkins, T. Higgins, like they've had some big-time wide receivers. You know what I'm saying? Mike Williams. Like, you know what I mean? They've had some big talented NFL caliber wide receivers. Absolutely. Can't really say that over the last couple of years, you know.
No,
Shipley was good, but not enough.
Not to that level. Yeah, he's your number two guy. That's a guy that makes you into Alabama when you have him as your second wide receiver. Then you're looking to go to.
Hey, listen, I'm not telling you I think Clemson will win a national championship. I'm telling you I think they cover 13.5 points. So hold on a second.
It's a big chunk.
This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Obrecki, the principal players, the hustlers, the people, the bus, them, and everybody else in between. Let's do this thing. Level three has begun, and we had a no-hitter earlier today, but you probably already know that if you're joining us in SoCal right now on the Mightier 1090, the 50,000-watt juggernaut ESPN radio in the house. Dylan Cease gets it done. The Friars are smoking hot right now. Played themselves into a wild card spot. We have a very critical weekend of big-time series is coming up across the board. San Diego's in Baltimore. The Los Angeles Dodgers are in H-Town against the Astros. Clayton Kershaw came back today. Looked good. Dodgers beat the Giants 6-4 earlier in an afternoon game. We've got Sean Higgs. We just can't get rid of Sean. We get rid of him a couple of minutes ago. But, well, you know what? You know, people in San Diego, we have a bunch of AM radio affiliates joining us right now, and I know that you like them tomorrow, so I figured, you know what, you'll gain some fans in SoCal by telling the people you like San Diego as an underdog tomorrow against Baltimore.
Padres, plus 172, we popped up, 178, whatever it is. Why? Again, this is all about taking the Orioles. It's a big number. They've been playing bad for the last two, three-plus weeks, so they've dropped 7-10, 7-13, whatever they are. Give me the Padres, 172, 175, in between. Listen, it's Missouri. I get it. That's why it's a big number. Grayson Rodriguez has been fabulous. You can't lay this number with a team struggling like Baltimore has been.
I agree with you.
They've lost two out of three to Miami.
Eight of their last 11 in a slide right now, which has somewhat sort of saved the New York Yankees. All right, so Sean likes to eat. He loves barbecue, loves ribs. He loves it all. But his sport palate is not all that expanded. No Olympic bets for Sean bets. Higgs here. You've got San Diego for us. So next time we talk, we'll start to get into some college football. But anything else on the baseball card tomorrow before we let you go that you like?
I'm going to say the Red Sox over the slumping Yanks. You got to take a little home dog there. And I don't know. I'm torn on that Jays game. Like we were talking about that Jays and Texas game. I want to take Texas because the Jays are so bad. But man, they are favored after getting demolished. Maybe I'll save myself the -116 and go a run line on your Jays tomorrow instead. If I lose, at least I'll be losing going after plus money tomorrow with Toronto. Plus 165 with them on a run line tomorrow.
Yeah, that's a dangerous way to live.
Yes, but listen, if they're going to lose after getting demolished today, they're just going to lose the game. It's going to be 5-1 they lose. If they win tomorrow, it's going to be a win. It's going to be like a 6-3 win.
That is true.
It's not going to be some one-run game. They'll win by two runs.
But, you know, when handicapping baseball, though, and like I said, I've been in clubhouses. I was in clubhouses on a daily basis. And there really is like an up and down. There's really like different periods like of the season in these clubhouses. And the Blue Jays clubhouse is doom and gloom, right? They know. Absolutely. It's like who's getting traded, you know, who's getting traded. I wish I was getting traded. And or where's my money? When are they firing the manager? They all know the manager's done. So it's like, whatever, dude. Like, this is a sinking ship. We all know it. You can't even fake hope if you're a Blue Jay player. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we were saying even some of these teams, like the San Francisco Giants and the Reds are only like 4.5, 5.5 out of a wild card. Even though we know they don't have a hope in hell, they can pretend they do, Sean. If you're the Toronto Blue Jays, you're rolling up to the park. You're like, this season's done. Like, this is just a lost season. And they're playing like it. They just get smoked all the time. So I don't know if they have any fight back, bro.
I agree. Again, that's why this time of year, coming into the All-Star break after, you got to tread a little light. You know, it's I don't want to do it. Just ask the opinion on it. I don't know.
And that's before I get you out of here, this is why, though.
Good.
This is why they shouldn't have pulled Skeens when he had a no-hitter going. I talked about this earlier. You see the happiness of the San Diego players, the enthusiasm. Oh, yeah. We talked about putting the clubhouse in a good spot. Like, you do that, everyone's motivated. So if a pitcher on the Pirates sees Paul Skenes go seven innings and he does his thing, you're like, wow, this guy's a lot better than me. But if a pitcher throws a no-hitter, next man up, then the next game's like, man, they threw a no-hitter last night. I got, you know what I mean? I can't suck tonight, man. I got to at least, like, you know, maybe not a no-hitter, but I'm not going to give up any runs tonight. And it's sort of contagious. You know what I mean, Sean? It's contagious. The clubhouse becomes a funner spot. Like, now tomorrow when Cease is sitting and hanging out with everyone, he can talk to them about it and stuff. Oh, yeah. Like, it just creates positivity, bro. Thanks, Sean.
Absolutely. Wait, take it easy, kid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24-7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
.com.
This is Sports Rage. I'm Morency. The Pits, the Players, the Hustlers, the People, the Bustlers, and everybody else in between. We got a lot of stuff to get to. The Olympics set to begin. Some events have already started, obviously. USA women's soccer today. Last night, if you were tuning into the show, we told you, you know what? I think it's going to be 3-0 final score. And it was plus 500, 3-0 final score. I didn't end up taking it. And earlier in the game, I'm thinking, you know, it's probably a good thing we didn't take 3-0 final score, because it was 3-0 after like 20 minutes. The U.S. looked really good, albeit it was against Zambia. Not to take anything away from Zambia, but there's going to be tougher teams later in the tournament. But it was a great start to the tournament for the U.S. women's team. A lot better than the Canadian women's team, albeit the Canadian women's team won their game today against New Zealand, but they fired their coach. And you got to love this. And, you know, let's just call it out for what it is. National Football League, we had Spygate, right? Bill Belichick and the Patriots and various ways of infiltrating teams' practices, playbooks, and we, you know, it was a massive scandal. Michigan Wolverines, similar situation, right? That they had sort of spies in the stands, and they knew everybody's signs. And, you know, we've seen this in baseball as well, right? And, you know, so basically it's a modern era right now. You wouldn't think about it in sort of women's soccer, but why wouldn't it happen in women's soccer as well? So Team Canada's women's soccer team has been nailed for flying drones over New Zealand's practices at the Olympics. They got caught for that, but now the snitches are all telling their story now about, oh, this has been going on for years, and I did this. This is why you got to pay people properly so they don't go to the media after when there's a scandal. So all these people are coming out of the woodwork saying that basically Canada's been doing this forever, and they can prove it, and so the Canadian women's coach stepped down and didn't coach the game today. She tried to suspend herself for a game, and she ended up getting fired. So the Olympics, a little bit of controversy to get rolling. We've got some Olympic basketball picks up for you a little bit later on. I put together a very interesting parlay that I'd like to share with you that I think is a slam dunk that's going to hit. So I think George Kurtz is ready to go with us right now. George, good to see you tonight. Last night you were at the Sammy Hagar, Joe Satriani concert. What's your review of the show? How did you like it?
No, I'm not a massive Sammy Hagar fan. I like Sammy Hagar, but he wouldn't be in my top 10, top 20. But he puts on a show, Gabe. He puts on a good show. I think that's the best thing about it. A voice was in good shape. Satriani was fantastic. I mean, watching him play is a pleasure here. Anthony Michael, Bonham on drums here. It was a good show. Have I seen better shows? Of course. I've seen better artists that I like, as far as Journey, Def Leppard, Genesis, and groups like that. But it was a good show.
Journey, Def Leppard, Genesis. Genesis is very good.
Motley Crue, I've seen lately here. Who else have I seen? Van Halen.
You like Motley Crue better than the Sammy Hagar show?
Yeah, I like Motley Crue. I do like and Vince Neil sounded good when I went, and I was worried about that because I know with some other shows before he came to New York, he wasn't sounding so good.
I think that's probably a lie.
I thought Crue sounded great.
He's never sounded good, but I know what you mean. Maybe he sounded better, you're saying. I saw the video. Everything's online now. All these shows are on YouTube and TikTok and whatever. So I basically watched one of the concerts of Sammy Hagar. Satriani is one of my favorites. The guy's an amazing guitarist. The only thing I'll say is the set list, there's some of the songs that they play, which I don't really understand why they play. Like, you know what I mean? Like, what are they playing Panama for? What are they playing Jump for? Those aren't Sammy Hagar songs. And I'm not one of these, like, anti-Sammy, like, overs. I am a David Lee Roth guy, obviously. Right? I mean, that's the pinnacle of Van Halen. But I don't want, you know, the Van Halen with Sammy Hagar, it was catchy. It was more commercial. They made a lot of money off of it. And one thing I'll say too, it was Eddie Van Halen. He was the one that actually wanted to be more commercial, right? Like it was the other guy, Sammy Hagar even was like, really, you know, we don't have to be this popish, do we? And like Eddie wanted to be sort of popish, but my whole point is they're David Lee Roth songs like Jump, Panama. So I saw some of the set list they played. I think they should just stick to the Van Halen songs that Sammy Hagar performed personally, George.
Yeah, and I knew he was going to play them. I did look it up, so I was surprised. I was surprised he had access to them, that they would allow him to play it, but I guess he is allowed for being part of the group. He was good at Panama. Jump was only, you know, he played part of Jump. It's like one of those, you know, they play four songs all in one to give you a little bit of that.
So
he
only played medley. Part of
Jump. A little medley, yes. That's the word I'm looking for there. Yeah, a little medley of Jump. You know, there was no...
Well, like you say, he's got Michael Anthony from Van Halen, too. Now, you can play any song you want, George. It's a cover. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you can't cease and desist. Like, if they want to play it, they can play it. I'm just saying, like, me personally, like, if I was in a rock band, I joined a band, I want to play the songs I'm playing. I'm not going to say, you know, I'm not going to do the other ones, but it is what it is. And I noticed there's, like, no Satriani songs or anything.
No.
Right? That, so it really is a Sammy Hagar show, right? It's Sammy Hagar.
Like I said, if you like Sammy Hagar, you probably love the show. If you're a huge fan, you would have loved the show. You know, hey, Sammy Hagar, good. You know, and I'm a big Van Halen fan. I prefer David Lee Roth as well. And Loverboy opened up, and there's a few Loverboy songs I like as well. So it was fun. Yeah, you know, it was.
I like Loverboy. Loverboy are good.
A little Turn Me Loose.
Turn Me Loose. Yeah. Everybody's working for the weekend.
Great song, great tune. I said they have three or four really good songs, and they were only on for maybe 40 minutes.
More than that.
Songs.
Three or four. Come on, Kurtz. They got more than three left through. I was just about to say, Loverboy are one of those bands that you think, you're like, all right, they got a couple of hit songs. But then when you actually see their set list, you're like, no, these guys have a lot of hit songs. Foreigner are like that. I know Foreigner are on tour. I didn't go see the show, but I saw their set list and the videos and stuff. And I was like, damn, these guys really do have like a lot of hits.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenci. George Kurtz in the house with us right now. We're just talking about the, Sammy Hagar concert, which is actually, they're going to be in New Jersey right by the Sports Grid Studios at the nice outdoor stadium, PNC Stadium. So they're getting around America. I would go see it If I get a chance to, I will. I'll go see it, and I'm hoping to see it potentially in Vegas. All right, so Kurtz, we had a no hitter earlier in the day today, and it was just awesome stuff. You have a hot baseball team right now. They're in a wild card spot. Pitcher throws a no hitter. If you saw the celebration after the game, you would have thought like that they beat the Dodgers in a playoff series again. Like it was like they mobbed, like they were seriously fired up. And it fires up the team moving forward. You know, next man up doesn't want to get lit up now, coming off the no-hitter. You got a five-game win streak going. You get a positive clubhouse going. You get people fired up back home. It's too bad it wasn't at home, but you got people fired up back home. That's why, like, the whole Skeens thing I thought was ridiculous. So imagine, Kurtz, you took him out. You didn't let him do a no-hitter, but you just let him go to the ninth inning the other day. What was the difference? You could have done it then. You just did it now. So what? Oh, you're 10 days later. His arm is stronger now. Shut up. You guys are just morons. You could have let him just do it.
The pitching. They wanted to pull him after the seventh inning. Cease had to talk. The manager had to let him go. Or else they were going to pull him at 93 pitches or 94 pitches, whichever one it was, in the seventh inning here. You know, listen, it's silly. I think it's.
And he told them, let me go to 105, right? Exactly. He was like, listen, I could do 105 or more. Dude, and it should be noted.
This is a little different.
He lost a no-hitter, George, with two out in the ninth before, right? So this is another thing.
Luis Arias.
Who actually handed them the game ball after tonight, which was cool. Now they're teammates.
Irony. What I have found weird, it doesn't really apply to today's game because it was a close game, but we've seen guys who've been pulled from a no-hitter up 7-0, 9-0. Listen, just tell them, just lob the ball over. You know, maybe you'll get lucky. You know, just lob it over here. That's what I would tell them doing it. You get up by 7 runs.
No, all this is stupid, George, that we live in this little scared society all the time of this stuff.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
If you're going to get hurt, you're going to get hurt.
But the thing is, we say that, but you know what? If let's just say for giggles here, the Skeens did, they kept him in, and he would have gotten hurt. We all would have crushed him. We would have. There'd be talk shows that would have crushed. How could you let this happen? A no-hitter matters. You can't win. Oh, it's true. You can't. I would let them pitch, but they can't win.
Let's use Kershaw. Kershaw had a freaking perfect game going. Remember, Kurtz, earlier in the year, and they pulled
him.
He got hurt anyways.
Lob it over.
My point is, though, Kurtz, he got hurt anyways later in the year. Like, you know what I mean? He got hurt. So what, you really think it's going to be the end of the world if you let him try to pitch another two innings? Let me ask you. Can you imagine in hockey, the goalie had a shutout going? He had like a five-game shutout streak going or something? And they said, listen, we're going to pull you with 10 minutes left because we think you're a little tired.
We got a game tomorrow night.
We don't want to, you know, your knees and your ankles. You know, we want you to sit down here. We're going to lose. Don't worry about a shutout. You'd be like, this is the stupidest thing I've ever heard of.
I
get it.
I think these guys are bitch.
And I get it, Kurtz. But you know what my deal with, and I don't want to, you know, we'll get back to the Cease. Great stuff. But with Skeens, I will let him do it. And I would have told him in the dugout at the time or after the game. Sort of like a parent, George, which you are, of teenagers, which is, okay, I'm going to let you go, but, bro, next start, we're pulling you at 5, bro, and I don't care if you got a no-hitter going. You know what I mean? Like, that's what you tell them. You make it up. You say, all right, listen, okay, we're going to let him go now. We'll make it up in the next start. We'll pull him a little early, and it'll balance out. But this live in fear stuff in sports, it's you know, it's over the top, but they make so much money now. And you know, and I know, George, when it comes to pitchers, I don't know what the number is that the Pirates have deemed. How many pitches do you think they, you know what I mean? You know there's a chart. And they're like, okay, 1,000 pitches.
Does that even matter, though? Wouldn't it matter to you, Gabe, about not so many how many pitches, but how many hard pitches? How many innings were you like, oh my God, were you taxed where you had to throw hard? If every inning's easy, who cares how many pitches? Just throwing the ball. But maybe it goes on second and third, one out. Okay, then you had to tax your arm. I think that's
no, but
much
my
more
point is, Kurtz.
And throwing the ball.
No, you raise a good point. But my point is, they view it as like, listen, we've got 3,000 pitches from this guy or 3,500 pitches from this guy. And because it's inevitable, everybody ends up getting Tommy John surgery now. And they just do.
Sports
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This is Sports Rage. I'm Morenci. We're kicking it. George Kurtz in the house right now. I'm going to get, I have some Olympic basketball bets and some more bets for you a little bit later on. But we're talking baseball right now. But San Diego, George, big win. Nice. Listen, these guys are on a roll. And now they got Baltimore coming up in Baltimore. And not like Baltimore are far from a dominant baseball team right now either. The Yankees are getting all the media attention for their struggles. But Baltimore have essentially been a 500 baseball team for about 6 weeks, George.
Yeah, if the Yankees weren't playing so bad, we'd all be all over Baltimore, right? I mean, we'd be crushing them about how poorly they're playing. But because the Yankees have cratered, Baltimore gets sort of a pass here because, hey, the 500 is still much better than the Yankees are playing, who are now 10-23 in the last 33 ball games. So Baltimore, I mean, I think the Kimbrel's proven to them, you need a closer. I don't know who that closer is going to be, right? Mason Miller went on the IL today with the broken finger, so maybe he doesn't get dealt by the deadline, even if they were going to trade him. I think they need another top-notch starter as well. So I think Baltimore there, the Orioles' path to being a really good team is easier because they just need to find that top reliever. Maybe it's Scott. You know, hey, they're playing Miami today. Maybe they should have taken Scott home with them. All right, take Tanner Scott with you from Miami, and you can find a good pitcher. You know, I think they'd be right there with anybody as far as certainly better than anybody else in the American League. But the Orioles have they've caught a break that the Yankees are playing so poorly, no one's talking about them right now.
Well, one relief pitcher that we know, although I don't know, how long is he going to be out for? You believe this Mason Miller story?
Broken finger, punches, man.
The guy's a pitcher, and for people tuning in, he's the Oakland Athletic. He set the record at the All-Star game, fastest pitch ever in an All-Star game, nearly 104 miles an hour. Like, what was it, 103.7? So this guy's like, you know, this guy brings the heat, and he's not the only one. Someone else broke their hand. Another pitcher broke their hand punching a wall in the dugout, and Miller punched the one of the massage tables after. I'll just give you exactly what happened. Like there's, you know what I mean? There's the tables, the padded sort of massage tables, therapy tables. He went into the clubhouse after a game. He wasn't happy. And he started smashing things. And he punched a padded table and ended up breaking his finger. Thing is, people really wanted this guy, Kurtz. Like he was, like people were like, he was very, like, he was a hot commodity.
He broke his left pinky. He's a righty. So, you know, theoretically, it's not going to hurt his arm. You know, he's on the IL. So an acquiring team, they're not worried about him not being able to throw the ball not coming out of his hand correctly. So he could still get dealt. It wouldn't shock
me. And if you're trading for him for him in September anyways. You don't even care. If he says, listen, I need 10 days or a week here to get comfortable. You're like,
pad it up. Well, I guess when can he catch the ball and not feel pain? I guess that's what it comes down to as far as when he can pitch again.
Well, he's got a feel and stuff, right? Because, you know, he's got a feel. There's sort of some things.
He's got to catch the ball every time from the catcher. Yeah. I get it. So I don't think this would stop him from being dealt if they are willing to trade him. So
hey, I was going to say, you know, say in football, man, like the old school Raiders, just cast it up like Lyle Salazano, try to get the glove on. But now I'm thinking, you know what, if Jim Abbott pitched with one hand, I think that he could probably pull this off, right? Thinking if Abbott could do it.
Give him a week, all right? I think he'd be fine by the end. Whatever the minimum. I've never broken a finger, but I don't think it's going to take that long to heal. You know, and by at least he did the smart thing, by the way, Gabe. If you're going to punch something, he did use his non-pitching hand.
Yeah, so you're right. He slammed it, too. He didn't punch. He came down like, bam. Yeah, he was thinking, I guess. But not fully, but yeah, still. And how about the Garrett Crochet story here about this guy thinks, like I said earlier, he thinks he's Steven Strasburg coming out of SDSU. He's calling his shots. He's like John Elway. He wants a contract. He wants the guaranteed contract or he won't pitch in the playoffs. Because he's scared of blowing his arm up for you and then, you know, being on the market after. What's your take on this?
Oof. I don't want this player on my team. right? I wouldn't want him on my team. Yeah, you to play in the playoffs, you need a certain contract to play in the playoffs. Are you kidding me? You know, that would have just turned me off completely. I wouldn't like it if I'm a teammate. I wouldn't like it if I'm a GM. I'm not acquiring. For what he's going to cost to acquire, you're going to give up half your farm system for this guy to get him from the White Sox, assuming once again that they would trade him. But I'd be very shy to trade for him now. You're not getting a guaranteed contract until your time is up. They have the leverage right now, not you. What are you going to do? Say you're not going to pitch? Didn't Aroldis Chapman try this with the Yankees a couple of years ago? Where he wouldn't pitch in the playoffs, he wouldn't come back to the team? You know, that doesn't go over well here. No, I'm not doing it. I'll stay away. Stay in Chicago.
My deal is I'd be thinking, listen, I understand it's a business and all that. I totally get that. But this is taking it to a new extreme, especially when, like, who you are. Teams already have to give up a lot to get you. And they're bailing you out of a pathetic situation as well. Right? You're in, like, arguably the worst situation. I don't know, Colorado. What's worse than being on the White Sox right now? I'd say Colorado probably.
Yeah, Colorado. Right?
Oakland, whatever. They're going to Sacramento, whatever. You know, it is what it is. They're going to get compensated more for it and whatever. But you know what I'm saying. I think the Oakland A's probably have more fun than the teams that we just talked about. Like the White Sox, they're just such a train wreck. But my deal is, George, if you're Crochet, it's like, all right, let's say I get traded to the Dodgers. The Dodgers want me. It's kind of implied. You'll know. It's like, okay, if I'm going to the Dodgers, I'm going to get a chance to pitch in big-time games for them. And if I pitch well, they're going to want to keep me and pay me. And if they don't want to pay me, then another good team's going to want to pay me because they just saw me pitch for the Dodgers in the playoffs, or they just saw me pitch for the Astros in the playoffs or whatnot. It's short-sighted thinking, George. It turns off teams because now, like you said, now when he comes up, let's say he gets through this and whatever, and okay, then he wants money. Teams are going to know, man, this guy only cares about himself. He's not here to win. He's just here for, like, it's a business. It's more of a business, which is fine, but you've also got to want to win, George. It's one thing to want to get paid, bro, but you have to have a desire to want to win a championship. And if you're telling winning teams to suck it and you rather stay on the White Sox, you got a problem, bro.
You want to stay on the Sox then, Daniel? You don't have to worry about making the playoffs, right? Because they ain't making the playoffs this year. Probably ain't making the playoffs next year. And if they get to that, you'll be pretty much close to a free agent anyway. You can go wherever you want to go. And so
he's padding his career almost. Yeah, he's getting extra years out of his career.
It's just weird that he would say this. Did his agent put him up to this? Or did a PR person go, oh my God, what are you talking about? Shut up. Yeah, it's bad. There's no way you can frame this to me that makes it look good for Crochet. It makes you look like a greedy player. And I'm always on the player's side in most things. But this makes you look like a greedy player that I would not want playing for me. I wouldn't want to be a teammate of. Because once again, you only care about yourself. You're not going to play in the playoffs unless you have a guaranteed contract. We've never heard this before.
We've got breaking news, George. Speaking of Major League. What's that?
Did Crochet get traded?
Oh, the Crochet? No, Randy Arozarena.
Ooh. Oh, let's see.
Guess Seattle? Where? Guess where?
Seattle?
Man, Price is right. Ding, ding, ding. The Seattle Mariners. People talking about getting a bat. They got a bat. Arozarena's name was linked to the Dodgers a lot in the last 48 hours. So, Mariners, step up. What do you think of that? We're always talking about, oh, the Mariners never do anything. They just did something. He's a big-game player, this guy, bro. He's a guy that sort of, look, forget about his numbers. You know, you see in a World Baseball Classic, in big spots, this guy will step up. What are your thoughts on it? Just breaking as we speak right now, per Ken Rosenthal.
Well, what's he, as a Yankee fan? Goodbye, Randy. I don't ever want to see you again. He killed the Yankees. I plan to see him as far away as possible. It's a good start for Seattle. It's not enough. It's a good start. It makes you wonder, though, Julio Rodriguez, is he hurt much worse than we think? You know, originally they said it was day-to-day. Then he was put on the IL. Then he's not coming back right away from the IL. So if he's just a replacement for Rodriguez, they have to do more. This is not enough for the Seattle Mariners, but it's a good start.
They have a big weekend coming up. They get the White Sox. Meanwhile, the Dodgers play the Astros. They got to gain a little, you know?
Sports
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
So Ken Rosenthal confirms that the Marlins have acquired Randy Arozarena from the Tampa Bay Rays. We don't know for what yet, though. So this just broke literally 2 minutes ago. I'm looking on his Twitter right now. We told you about 2 minutes ago. So great job by our crew. Shout out to our boys at the Bellworks Studios for getting that to me immediately. You guys were quick with that. So Arozarena, we don't know what the return is yet. And Rosenthal also just tweeted an hour ago, George, that the San Francisco Giants are drawing significant trade interest for Blake Snell, and that they're listening. What are your thoughts on Blake Snell? You got to predict. You just called Seattle. You didn't know where he went. You just said Seattle for Randy. Blake Snell. Where does Blake Snell end up?
Well, there's not too many. We just discussed during the break. There's not too many.
He's already been everywhere. Sorry, he's already been on a couple of. So,
but you're looking. I mean, San Diego would make sense. The Dodgers, right? I don't think the Dodgers will be in on it, but they.
I don't think the Dodgers are in. I think the Dodgers have all these guys coming back.
All right. How about the Baltimore Orioles?
Great call.
Burns, Snell, Grayson Rodriguez, Kramer. Nice.
And if you're San Francisco, you get him to the American League, he's out of your life.
And he's pitched the American League East before, so he knows the East. It would make I just don't know if Baltimore's going to be willing to take on the $30 million player option he has next year. That's the whole key about Baltimore. Will they spend money? I don't know.
No. I could see them going more a Bassett-type guy. You know, Flaherty, a Bassett. You know what I mean? I could see Baltimore. Flaherty, they have money, though. It's a new ownership. Kikuchi's pitching tomorrow. He's another one that's going to be available, Coach. Yeah, you like Kikuchi?
I'd rather have Flaherty or Snell over Kikuchi. Kikuchi's got a live arm, but he seems to be that guy who throws the ball hard, but straight, and he gets hit. He'll strike out a bunch of guys, but he doesn't give up a bunch of runs here. He's more of an innings eater to me, not a guy I want starting. I think anybody who's acquiring a pitcher now, he's a playoff starter for you, right? He's a 1-2-3 starter. Kikuchi's not that for me. Where I think Snell would be a game
not a 1-2-3.
Flaherty probably game three.
But you're right. If you're trading for a starter right now, he's the third, fourth starter. You want a guy, you know what I mean? Okay, who can we throw in here if we're going to have to? The Dodgers are interesting. Just because the media reports they're linked to players doesn't mean they actually are. The Dodgers, even though they got a pretty deep farm system, very deep, they don't like – they're not, like, overly eager to help other teams out, right? And another thing is, too, if you'll notice, the Dodgers are very good, George, at passing off prospects that appear to be good but don't work out after.
The Yankees are good at that, too. The Dodgers don't need pitching. At that. Glasnow, unless they know something about Yamamoto that we don't know.
No, let me just tell you something. The Yamamoto stuff is super positive, so much so. You know what's positive? Right. When Dave Roberts was even openly saying, oh, no, he's looking great, and we're very, it's all lining up. And Clayton Kershaw looked good today. I know it was one game, but he looked sharp. All kinds of nasty stuff. Movement, speed, he had it all. Velocity, he looked good today.
I don't see where a pitcher is going to, you know, once again, Glasnow, Kershaw, Yamamoto's coming back. Stone's been, I mean, I think Stone's gotten a bad look here. He's been really good. Bueller started throwing a simulated game or a rehab game on Friday. He'll be back too. Where's somebody else going to pitch? They don't need no. This is why they got to get rid of Paxton, right? Because they don't have any.
Knack has been more than serviceable, too.
Knack, they had to send him down, right? Because they got too many pitchers here. And, you know, River Ryan looked good, too. You know, Dodgers, they pull out pitching out of their backside here. I think they'll go for an outfielder. That's what I expect the Dodgers to do, a top outfielder.
Well, they just recalled Outman tonight, not a top outfielder, but I'm just saying. So, Arozarena is off the table. What about Robert? Right, that's what people, you know. I don't know if he's a good fit. The Dodgers are kind of more, you know, they don't like sort of independent, sort of wild players. You know what I'm saying?
It's
but
fair.
The guy can't. Yeah, you know what I mean. But you put him next to Teoscar Hernandez out there in the outfield, it's a little bit different, right? He's playing with real vets. You're not on the White Sox anymore.
He'd be playing with Mookie Betts. All right, Ohtani, Freeman, I think he'd go. He'd be fine. I think
it'd be nice to slide him in that lineup, too. Hit him fifth, sixth. Eh? You know, I mean, after all that, like right after.
I think the two teams for Robert are the Dodgers and the Phillies. I think it's the team you're battling with. I think those are the two teams going after him because the Phillies would love to put him in the outfield as well. As their one weakest spot there is an outfielder, and they could certainly use him there. So that's where I would expect Louis Robert to go. I think he'd be out of the American League, which would probably make the White Sox happy. Dodgers or Phillies? Who's going to pony up for him?
So speaking of contract demands, the Dallas Cowboys situation is going to be interesting. Yet they set this up, and Jerry knew this was going to happen. And I couldn't help but laugh, actually, Kurtz. You know, we stay away from politics on the show, but after Joe Biden had his resignation letter, someone was like, "Dear Jerry, now you do it, Jerry." Someone like put Jerry's name. Someone put Jerry's name on it, and they had a they replaced the White House with like cowboy stationery, and it said, "Man, I wish Jerry should do the same thing." It was too good. I was going to get it for you, but it was from a few days ago. But so you know, it's getting, dude. I remember you and I talking. George, a cowboy fan. Remember, I was one of the first to bring it up. George, I said, "You know what? I think he's going to end up on another team." The way I think this is sort of lining up, the way the you know, they're holding off right now. And then Doc today, what a way to open up training camp. And everything is big like the soap opera Dallas, the TV show was in Dallas. Doc Prescott opens up the press conference today, Kurtz. I know you know, but for people who don't know, he starts talking about, you know, every quarterback in the NFL that I grew up watching and all the great ones always played for another team in their career. And I've kind of resigned myself that that's what's going to happen to me. But I'd love to be a Dallas Cowboy. And you got Jerry Jones doing his little dance here. And not to mention, Lamb's getting fined, what, $50,000 a day that he's missing now? You've got a lot of drama in the Big D right now.
I mean, what do you want me to tell you? All right, the listening to Jerry Jones is like, somebody, please help him. Get him off the stage here. He just backtalks everything, right? He's outside one mouth, outside the other mouth. He's making, what, basketball analogies that everyone's circling around the rim here. What are you talking about? Find somebody.
Remember the draft? We're all in.
All in? Oh, we're waiting till all the leaves fall? It's another one of his little things here. Waiting for all the leaves. What leave? What the? I mean, oh my God, this is.
What leaves?
Dak, yeah. If you're Dak, why would you sign with the Cowboys? Why wouldn't you wait?
Thanks, George.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Fun show tonight. Quickest 180 minutes in sports and talk television, radio. We're into the home stretch right now. We got a couple of minutes left. Tomorrow night we'll really hammer, and we're gonna have like 101 picks, the Olympics, because all the events are set to begin over the weekend, including men's basketball. It's time to roll. All this talk about, oh, it's gonna be a great tournament. Well, it's time to see it. And you know, guys, 30,000 people fit into their basketball arena. They're going to have 30,000 people at the French games and the U.S. games and stuff. I didn't see it. It's like soccer is pretty hostile. I can't wait to see like the atmosphere here. So tomorrow we'll have more picks for you. But here's one that I put in that I like a lot. And the sports books all have top point getter for their team. So if you poke around. All right, so this one was from Bet365, but other books have it as well. So you could bet who's going to score the most points for each team. So Team Japan, Rui Hachimura of the Los Angeles Lakers, he's the go-to guy on Team Japan, and he's looked awesome in their exhibition showcase games. He scored 19 points the other night. He dropped 29 against Serbia. Like this guy, like I said, Rui Hachimura has had a great international run here and a great lead up into the Olympics. He's their leading primary scorer. He's going to get the ball. He's a -334 favorite to be the top point scorer for Team Japan. He will be. But you can parlay these together. So I got Rui Hachimura parlayed with Victor Wembanyama. So Victor Wembanyama, he's playing with Rudy, you know, if you look, all right, who's on the team? So he's got Rudy Gobert on the team. Rudy Gobert is more of a defensive specialist. Rudy's going to give you 14 points, 16 points or something in international ball, but, you know, 12 points, whatnot, but he's a defensive guy. Batum's going to pop some threes. Evan Fournier is going to distribute the ball, but who's their best player? Who's this built around? Victor Wembanyama. And even though Wembanyama passes a lot and he's a slick passer in the paint, he's still going to drop 22, 24. He's going to get into the 20s. Remember, they're 40-minute games. He's going to get into the 20s. Wembanyama is going to be the leading point getter for Team France, which leads us into leading point getter for Team Canada, Gilgeous Alexander, SGA. Listen, Canada have Jamal Murray on the team. Jamal Murray's like obviously a stud, but he's not as integrated into the Team Canada basketball team as everybody else. Murray hasn't played on Team Canada in 10 years, okay? Like, the last time he played for Team Canada, he was a kid in, like, in an international tournament. He's never, like, so they already have kind of things going without Jamal Murray, but Jamal Murray's so good that obviously he's going to start, right? Like, Canada was really adamant about, listen, we're going to have the same guys and we want them to play together for a couple of years and get some chemistry going. And Jamal Murray wasn't part of that crew, but he's so good, he's in. But he won't be their leading scorer. RJ Barrett is good in international play as well for Canada. Like, RJ's going to score, like, 18 points and stuff. But SGA's going to go off. And, in fact, Gilgeous Alexander is the favorite to score the most points out of any player in the tournament. So, points per game average. It's not most points. Points per game average, right? So, a top point scorer in the tournament, and well, actually, most points, right? When it's all said and done, but Gilgeous Alexander and Team Canada could go far, and I actually think Team Canada are going to the gold medal game. So Gilgeous Alexander is going to play in a ton of games, and he's going to score a ton of points. So my parlay is Rui Hachimura to be the top team point scorer for Japan, Victor Wembanyama to be the top point scorer for Team France, and SGA to be the top point scorer for Team Canada. The parlay is plus 162. All right, so you're getting, it's not a bad price at plus 162. And we put $380 on it, and it returns $1,000. So if you want to cut it in half, you put, $190 gets you $500 back. $19 gets you $50 back. So you get where I'm going with this. You're getting some nice plus money back on this. I really think it's going to hit. I'm going to mix it up a little bit, too. I'm going to play a couple other ones. Hachimura is the Stone Cold lock. Tomorrow night, we'll get into the United States. Who do you think is going to be the leading point getter for the United? Who's going to be their leading scorer? The books have Steph Curry. It's Steph Curry listed as the favorite, then Anthony Edwards, and then LeBron James. And Steph Curry is going to be on the floor a lot because Kerr's the coach. And I think the U.S. are going to live and die a lot with whether Steph Curry hits three-point shots. Can't wait to break it all down tomorrow night with all of our guests. The opening ceremonies are in the morning, and then Saturday, it's go time. All the sports are ready to rock and roll. We'll have a plethora of picks for you. Shout out to all of our guests that joined us tonight. Other than that, you're on your own. Later.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.